From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carl. We have Keon, Jana, and EK.
Woo!
He's over there somewhere.
How's y'all's week?
Hello.
My week was pretty good. I went to a rodeo.
What? Oh, how was it?
Yeah, I have something this week. It was great. I loved it. It was my favorite rodeo I've been to. But
it's the only one you've been to, right?
Yeah, but it was great. One of my favorite live things that I've been to.
What did you see? Did you see the cowboy clowns or whatever they're called?
Yeah, rodeo clowns. I had a rodeo clown. I saw a bull riding. I saw bucking bronco riding.
Did you see them like lasso?
Yeah, they did like rope competitions, wow. Like speed roping competitions. Boys and girls. Wow. I also saw children riding sheep. Like, they did, like, their own version of bull riding, but they hold on to sheep.
That's fun.
That makes sense.
A girl won that one.
Did you see any, like, blood or guts?
No one got hurt by the looks of it.
Okay.
Might have been, like, a stomp or two on one of the guys.
Sure.
But it was cool. It's really fun. And the people are having lots of fun who were there.
Yeah.
Did you try any of the,
it was just cool.
Try any of the food, or you just,
I don't think we ate there, no. Yeah. But they did, it wasn't a fairground where they had, you know, like concession stands, so you could
corn
get
dog.
Like funnel cakes.
They had funnel cakes?
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you get the hookup, dude. It's a funnel amazing. Cake.
Did you see the people actually get roped, like the horsing? Do they horse any? Do they rope any horses?
They didn't rope horses, but they did rope cattle. That's what they usually do. They rope cattle. I don't think they rope horses. So I saw them roping cattle.
The horses are on our team.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to do multiple things.
Yeah, we are aligned with the race called horses.
Cool.
And my favorite, though, was probably the barrel races. Where they run around. They put three barrels, and they, like, run around them.
Right.
Yeah. That was so
cool. That's cool, man. Wow. It sounds like you had an eventful week.
Well, that was weekend. I only mentioned one thing I did, but relative to every other week of my life, you're right. Amazingly eventful.
Yeah, that was great to hear about.
Yeah.
I have one question regarding rodeo. Do they say yeehaw there?
I don't think anyone really says yeehaw. Like,
do they say woo doggy?
They might a little bit, but I don't think they're not promoting it. It's not a slogan for them. It's just life.
Did they just like raise their fist and like,
some of them did, yeah. They were, like, proud of themselves, right. And they showed it by flexing their body in that way.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was really cool. I want to go again. It's supposed to be a really big one in Houston, I guess, where it's, like, sort of, like, world level.
Are you going to start going to, like, to these places now? Are you thinking about just, like, doing a tour?
I think it's really fun, like, on multiple levels. Like, the actual sport is really interesting and fun, I think.
Wow.
But then the people watching is, like, top-notch, I think.
Wow.
Because people are, like, it's a weird combination between a sporting event and, like, almost like a ball, like a, you know, like a country ball. That's kind of what it like. Cause
wait, why?
Because people get kind of dressed up.
Oh, like with their big like belt buckles.
Yeah.
Wait, did you get dressed up like that too?
No, I don't have any. I went probably in this exact outfit, but like a different.
Did you talk to anybody?
Wash. I did it. I talked to my wife because she was there, and
shout out.
I might have nodded at a guy or two.
You tip your hat.
Didn't tip my hat. We did a prayer before.
We did
a national anthem.
Oh,
dude,
wow.
Look at you.
Did they shoot off a gun after the national anthem?
I don't recall, but maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't get shot.
Dang,
or like when they released the bull, like do they do that with a gunshot?
No, that's like a horse race.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not a horse race. Would also indoors. Be fun. Maybe even more dressy.
Right, for sure.
Have you guys been to a horse race before?
I haven't been to a horse race. Have you been to a horse race?
I don't remember. And when I was a kid, we used to go to a lot of those things. Like, I don't remember. I remember liking the Speedway, the Motor Speedway in Corpus. I remember loving that out of all the things that we would do. But we did a lot of these things, but I don't remember.
Horse races are fun because people get really dressed up. It's like another level of rodeo. Because like
they wear big hats.
Yeah, big hats, big dresses, and it's like big wealth because it's gambling. There's wealth. Yeah, boots are larger.
Yeah.
What about red flags? Like, do they hold red flags and then the bull runs at you?
No, they're already like the animals are already like juiced. They're like ready to go.
Oh,
they're already. Yeah, that's super more anxious.
Like belonging to like the Spanish.
Yeah, that the matadors.
Yeah, that would be matadors. A matador thing. Yeah. Yeah. And this is more of a.
Well, that's cool.
Just you get on top of it and it doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And it tries to get you off, but you don't let it get you off. And how good you do that, it means you if you rank well, you get money.
Well, if you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker Dot. No, I'm sorry, Stacker News Radio Live.
Dot News.
Stacker News Live. We cover the front page of Bitcoin, Stacker Dot News. And if you're watching this live, head over to YouTube, go to Stacker, type in Stacker News Live, hit that subscribe button. I think we got more subscribers this week. Look, literally, it's working. I'm just telling them to go. Hit that subscribe button, but you have to sign in. Not signed in.
Wow, we almost I think we have more subscribers than we do individual videos.
There
now.
You go. It's happening.
One subscriber for every video we have.
This is what happens.
It's growing. Each of you get your own video.
I think I'm subscribed.
And then you can also go to this thing called SNL thing, and then you can go and click on the rest of these things. You can follow Keon on Stacker News. Follow me on Stacker News.
We don't really have followers, but you can subscribe to us.
Subscribe to
us.
You
have to be signed in.
Spotify. Apple. I don't know. Let's see if we got a. Oh, look, somebody left the. Oh, no, that's the same one.
Yeah, just go to these pages cars show in and click buttons on them.
Yeah.
Somebody asks why so much we'll black. Like the result. You guys are very black today.
Yeah, it's been raining all week.
Because it's been raining. That's the answer. Yeah.
Is it still Black History Month?
No, it's February.
That was February, bro.
Oh, it's Women's Month. My hair is long.
Cool. Let's jump into the top five stories. This week's going to be all over the place, but the first top story is the number five top story is the pandemic COVID conspiracy. What did they do it? Spiked Matt Ridley, 1,665 sats, 16 comments by Dilla, whatever. Keon, what's this?
Come on.
Is that the guy that wrote How Innovation Works?
He's written a lot. He's a prolific writer, this guy. So I feel like... Oh, you're talking about Matt Ridley.
I believe so. I believe it's a Sir Matt Ridley. Might be another Matt Ridley, but I believe it's a Sir Matt Ridley. I believe he got into this stuff.
What's this about, Kim?
Yeah. What's what?
Top story.
Oh, the top story. Dan read this post and asked everyone how it happened, how we kind of got lied to, and I guess specifically about the lab leak hypothesis, because that's kind of what this article talks a lot about. Is that's kind of the beginning of the point where people started suspecting something was suspicious when they're on the lab leak stuff. Because it was like there were so many weird coincidences and the explanations kind of didn't add up over time. And it led everyone to believe that the whole thing was kind of planned, because why would you lie about something from the jump like that? And so Den asked everyone what they think. What was the motivation behind this lie and a lot of what came after it?
Yeah. What do you think of this whole thing?
Oh, I think it leaked from the lab, and I would guess probably not intentionally. And then they didn't want to admit that it leaked from the lab because they knew that'd bring scrutiny to their lab stuff. And then just all the incentives around these institutions are to lie and hide the truth and kind of...
Yeah, there's just too many interests.
Yeah, I think it was just like incentives all plus the crisis equals whatever emerged from it.
It also felt somewhat coordinated by the WEF. I mean, he was talking about it like prior, or at least there's record of it. He had released like a whole... book club about it or whatever, a couple books around that time. I forget that guy's name. I don't know if he died.
Klaus
Schwab, yeah. Is he dead? Did COVID get him?
I don't think so. I think he's still alive.
You would think that it would at least get him.
I mean, I would guess he like goes he like cryogenically freezes himself in between web meetings.
I don't know. I always picture him. He's like the emperor from like Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, people like have generated him to look like that a few times.
Yeah, but especially he also is that though too.
Yeah.
I just feel like that was like a big part of it, the WEF, and then it was just really bad time.
It was a bad time. It's just like the question is, was it all coordinated? Was it just emergent?
See, that's the thing. I think when everybody has the same interests and then you have the same type, they all go to the same kind of like conferences, the same parties, hang out with the same people. It just becomes, it's not a conspiracy. It just becomes a group of people that with the same interests. I think, you know, and I don't think that's a nefarious thing. It just naturally happens.
But do you think they thought it was like a mild disease and then like over promoted the deadliness of it?
I remember hearing about it during Davos because I remember like seeing it, or at least I remember Jamie Dimon talking about it in like 2020 in Davos, and he was talking about this virus that was like that people were getting sick over there. And then after that, like, it was just full on, it was going to become a thing. And I remember even people were talking about it in December of like, of 2019, I want to say. I don't remember. I would have to go look at my, but I remember when I was recording my podcast for my stuff back then, I remember bringing it up, but I don't remember saying like it was going to do anything, but I remember there was like this whole, cause back then there was definitely a conspiracy theory about like, there was something coming just because of the money printer. Like, how were they going to fix that? Because it was getting really crazy back then. I'd have to go back. Anyways.
Okay, cool.
Aardvark says, my favorite conspiracy theory is that China released it on purpose to kill off the older, less productive members of the population, also financially crippling other nations. That's the insane response by the media and politicians. Seriously, I have no effing clue what anyone had to gain besides Big Pharma and people they donate to. I guess that answers the question.
Yeah, I liked Undisciplined's answer. They said it was the standard, never let a crisis go to waste. So,
no, I definitely think, I like that. Yeah, I like that too, but I definitely think there was, man, I have to go back and look, but there definitely was like talk about this stuff prior, like in 2020 or 2019.
KYC's answer is AI.
Cool. Yeah. Umbrella Corporation. What do you think about this one? My friendship circle after telling people the truth about COVID and the vaccine, and then everything changed.
This person didn't have friends to begin with. Let's be real.
I'm going
to
say that as well. And it also says convid and not COVID.
Jenna, what do you think about all this?
Well, it's unfortunate that any analysis today just doesn't matter because it's fully over. And I am pretty nauseated by the whole topic, which I knew I was going to feel that way, like while it was happening. Like, I knew, like, there was just no sense to be made about it at the time it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bigger than we all thought. And it wouldn't matter in the end because it's just bigger than we all thought. And there's powerful people that we don't know who do things that we can't understand.
Yes. Amen.
Cool. We're going to jump into the next top story, much lighter topic. Zines are punk rock. This is from Pleb Poet. Books and articles, territory, 11 comments, 2,800 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so Pleb Poet wrote a little essay about zines and their zine history. Had some nice thoughts on zines. I think it was the first or second sentence of, what is it? For everyone individual in the world, there's one zine, and for every, anyway, I can't read.
You're scrolling, car.
It's okay. But they covered a lot of the zines that they made in the past. I think this is their earliest zine.
Yeah, it's my first ever, and I still stand behind that statement.
Microsoft Paint, the OG zine software. And then they also shared their haiku zine, which I have a physical copy of, guys.
Whoa.
And then they also shared pictures of the one-of-a-kind extremely rare.
Yeah.
Like, what do they call extremely rare ordinals? It's like hyper or rare.
How did you make this right here? How did you get these colors? Did you like watercolor them or how did you, or you just print it out like a.
I made this one in Canva.
So that's like a test print from there. From the printer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of what it's
a joke. Yeah, that this one came out of our printer here in Pleb Lab.
Yeah.
And then she had a an even craftier zine.
Is that a moon? Is that a moon man?
No. This will be See, added to the my, segment of the next zine.
Another installment of my favorite game, Car Identifies This.
What's empty right there?
Books.
Oh. And then is that code, I guess? What is Mercy?
Yeah, it's the network.
What is money? Oh, okay.
And then there's the Genesis block inside of a diamond. Okay. See how we're getting a little...
Who's that?
That's me.
Oh, it ain't much, but it's yeah, honest work.
Exactly.
That's that meme.
Cool. Looks like we had the optimism with the top comment. He said, between 95 and 99, I was part of a number of collectives that publish periodic art e-zines, graphic, ASCII art, mod, music, poetry, and plain text. It's like you say, we created our own destiny permissionlessly. No one was going to stop us. No one did, except maybe Link Rot. You can find some stuff from back then here.
And then he yeah, that was awesome. Like, I loved that this person came out of nowhere and like and wrote this comment. It was really cool.
Optimism. Oh wow, bringing it.
Yeah, I just you had to like download each of those, and I was kind of nervous to do that. I did download one, and then it like kind of. I don't know what happened.
Took over your computer.
Now I have a virus, so.
That's
COVID.
Cool.
No, I'm joking. I don't.
That's really cool. And then you also dropped this post today, right? It was.
This is a second issue.
Second issue of the zine.
Yeah. Let's go.
So this is a second issue.
Zine's happening.
This
We're
is
doing
the
it.
This is the first issue.
Yeah.
The inaugural issue. And then this is the second issue.
Shout out.
Isn't that cool? Keon, what do you think about all this, Keon?
I think it's great. I think we already talked about it, and I said it was great then. I think it's great now. The biggest thing is I have goals for it that I don't know if a printer is going to be able to help us meet our goals for it because they seem not as... It doesn't seem there's like a true rush printing that's cheap enough to get it done, is what it seems like on a very on like a 24-hour turnaround.
Is. Yeah, I don't know what the total
ideally 12
problem
hours,
but
that's like my I'm mostly concerned about logistics stuff, but the art creative side seems awesome.
I think for this type of stuff, it's more about the individual creation of it all, like. That's really the whole point of it. It's just like it's a collector's piece. And so it's not supposed to be rushed, at least in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I definitely disagree. Because, I mean, I definitely think that part is true. I just think it can also serve a functional utilitarian purpose as well.
I think getting it to this is smart, though. Letting them print it out on their own, I think, is like the best you could hope for. But like,
I don't think it's the best you could hope for, but I definitely think it's a good outcome.
The best in 1 week, though, that's hard. Let's see if you guys get there.
I can't respect the way you like hedge and.
No, I'm just saying like I would me personally, I would much rather prefer a unique copy that's not rushed. If that makes any sense.
Yes,
I would. Prefer a copy every week, and the rushing gets so good that it doesn't affect the quality.
Because you can print these out right now, right? Like, I can print these out from GitHub, like, just on this machine, and it'll go.
Yeah. The only thing you have to do to be able to print it just from any at-home printer is flip a couple pages upside down so that it prints right side up when you do the backside.
Yeah.
But I've included that. That's called Imposed Issue Zero. I've included that one for zero. Mm-hmm. I'll need to include it again for this one, but some instructions there, but you should be able to figure it out.
Another thing I want to say on rushing is one of the reasons why I think we don't see more zines, period, and zines in Bitcoin is because everyone has the idea where each has to be this unique snowflake butterfly that they've birthed, and therefore they never get it done. So having the continuous constant deadline, I think, is part of making a lasting printed thing.
I think that's definitely true. I can agree on. What's this right here? The
looks like a mask.
Yeah, is that a mask?
Yeah, that was the COVID story.
Oh. Oh, wow. So you're covering the same stories we're covering. Sometimes. Oh, interesting.
It's just repackaging, Car. Packaging and repackaging. That's the media bits.
Wow, I didn't realize I was talking to Roger Ailes.
Yeah.
Or what's his name? Not Roger Ailes. What's his
I don't
name?
Know. Who's Robert less creepy? Murdoch.
Murdoch, I guess, is less creepy. One of his sons, I guess, is less creepy.
Is less creepy or more creepy?
Less creepy.
I want to be the most creepy one.
The most creepy, probably like Ailes.
Ailes.
Yeah. That's a crazy movie, dude. I don't know if you saw that movie. Anyways. But Murdoch's, I guess he's okay. I don't know. I think he's already given it up to his sons, though.
He has to be old. He's like, has to be 95 or something.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if this turns into one of those things.
He might be like the longest living Australian.
I like Darth Coin's post. He said,
yeah, I liked it too.
He said, I will force choke you.
No. Oh, yeah, he did say force choke.
I don't understand where he gets these Darth Vader like pictures.
Google search, probably.
Oh, okay. And then he just throws like a Stacker News hat on top of it. And then just, how does
that's
he
what I do. It's a real cheap costume, whoever's wearing that one.
Yeah, I always thought that's funny. Cool. We're going to jump into the number three tops. Oh, also, real quick. So if you want to go get the zines, it's on Jana's GitHub.
If you want to buy them and get them shipped to you,
if you want to buy
the stamp on it and everything.
It's on Zuprite.
Professionally printed on Zuprite. Get your Zuprite. Zap it right.
The number three top story is how PlebLab is shaping the future of Bitcoin startups in Austin. This is from Coob, 25 comments, $6.68. Keon.
I'm surprised I got to share this link first, but I saw it and I was like, no one shared this.
What's this? You
jumped on sharing it pretty quickly, I feel.
It's true. Was I supposed to wait, though?
Was I supposed to waiting on other people.
Yeah, I'm not about to wait. I want people to see the story. It was prime story sharing time in the morning.
No, you're right. You're right. That's
okay.
True.
Thank you. God, everyone wants to fight me, but then they're like, okay, fine.
Well, I wasn't fighting you on that fact that you shared it, but the fact that you said nobody else did. It's like, well, because
I got there first.
You got there first.
Okay, well, I don't know why I'm paying for other people's slowness. Anyway, Carr, this is a story about you and PlebLab and how you are probably... What does it say? This niche Bitcoin community. How important this niche Bitcoin community is.
You remember that picture right there?
Huh?
Do you remember that picture?
I do remember seeing this picture. I don't remember taking it. I might have been.
I have it in my apartment.
Extremely drunk.
I have it in my, yeah, you were definitely drunk.
Probably was. Kyle looks like he isn't drunk.
I was a sober Sally back then, I think.
Kyle's holding a bottle or something.
Yeah, it was water.
I also think looks like he's wearing shoulder pads, but he's not.
Keon looks like he's trying to catch a fly with his mouth.
No, you just made like a funny face.
Yeah, I don't like taking normal pictures.
Yeah.
You can see the nicotine gum.
Yep.
I don't think that's nicotine gum.
Oh, what is it? Yeah.
Maybe it's a fly. Maybe.
Juan made this. Juan's been spending time here in Austin, and he like made this whole thing. I actually didn't believe him at first. He was like, I'm going to write a story on you. And I was like, really? And I was like, okay. And I was really happy with it. He left out a lot of people, but I don't think that was his fault. But
I feel like he also included extras.
Yeah, but I think he just got inspired when he was in here. I think that's the best way I can put it.
My voice also made it into the post.
Your voice?
Yeah, at the end, the yo-yo video. That's my voice.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, cool. And then he goes.
Yeah, like I called him out, but it doesn't say magazine on the yo-yo.
He was talked about a lot of the stuff that's being built in the lab. Talk about Oliver, talk about Keon, Stacker News. Look at that.
Yeah, I saw it. It's the first time I've been on Bitcoin Magazine's website before. Just kind of interesting.
Yeah, he talked about everybody.
I'm just going to ride other people's coattails all the way to the top.
Talked about Topher. You just called it Topher. Thought that was cool. Talked about Austin and Frost. Christopher David.
I think Jenna mentioned Plebdes was mentioned, but I didn't.
It was a Bitcoin magazine.
It was.
Oh, I didn't.
It wasn't. Oh. High
quality. Yeah. Juan's great to have here, though. I've been enjoying him at the lab. I don't know. What do y'all think?
I think it's probably like you guys share a bond that none of us share.
Oh, really? You don't enjoy him?
Both being Hispanic.
No.
It's a joke.
No. He's easy to get along
I think
with.
He's great. I'm happy he's been around. He's a cool guy.
It's good to see awesome. The other side
appreciate
of like.
You,
he's really famous. I saw him in a HBO documentary.
Yeah, he's super famous. Anyways.
And so he played chess with me like nobody else here.
Yeah. Did you win?
No, he won 2 times.
Oh. You let us down.
Wow, so he's also a super genius, I guess. Is that what that means?
Chess prodigy.
Yeah. It was a good week. Wow. It was a good week for Blah Blah. There was another interview that got dropped this week, too, from this magazine that interviewed me like a few weeks back. So that was cool. It was a good week for the press. Let's go into the number 2 top story this week is Frost release. This is from Bitcoin Pleb Dev, who's sitting right next to me. March 26, 23 comments, 10,000 sats. Austin, wow, Keon, what's
ready
this?
To get on there. This is what Topher and Austin have been working on.
Maybe Topher
on.
Can talk.
Yeah, let Topher talk.
It's basically multi-sig for Noster keys.
Explain everything, what's going on.
Topher probably didn't even watch this.
No, I saw the comments. Yeah,
we updated the website.
How's the family, by the way?
Yeah, so big announcement. This is, we've kind of been showing. I've been trying to show what we've been working on with Froster, which is a way to...
Showing and growing.
Split your Noster private key into multi-sig using Frost. And it's all been a bunch of talk and videos up until this point, but now we have signed releases for our 2 first clients, Igloo and Frost2x. And I kind of just walk through a demo in the video. I take my real private key and I split it up right in front
of
you.
Okay, big announcement.
Then I sign a note.
Wait, that was your real private key?
That was my Bitcoin Pleb Dev private key, yeah. You can see I post a note at the end.
Oh, because you replace the shares later.
Yeah. Yeah, I post a note and you can go find that note. I think it's just like, I'm testing live or something like that.
That's cool.
And then after I did the video, I was like,
okay,
oh, man, what if I, like, leaked something? So then I just rotated.
Heck yeah.
So I'm safe.
Or is it just static?
Okay, so this is another thing. We found EK and your other contractor. Who is he? Sox. Well,
EK's not a contractor.
Help me figure out, like, a 2-month-old bug that has occurred with my CDN. And yeah, so my videos haven't been playing everywhere, even though they're MP4, because Apple does some like special stuff that I didn't notice, but Sox helped me find that. So
yeah, there is a working video in the comments.
Yeah.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, it worked for me as well on iOS.
So I know, that's what's so mysterious is like it'll work and then it's really hard to find the case.
So they do some weird encoding.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I need to use FFmpeg, probably, or something like that. Nonetheless, I also fixed the video on Noster, and, you know, so yeah.
Cool. Very exciting. What are the other names for places where Eskimos live that you can use for other signers?
And I don't know.
Because Igloo is one. That's a great one, I think. Classic.
Happy Feet. You have to use Happy Feet.
Oh,
Happy Feet.
Happy Feet's a pretty good one, but it's kind of confusing because you're talking about penguins.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
What else? Polar bears.
Wigwam.
Glaciers.
Glaciers.
Ooh, yeah, glacier. Fjord.
What was that commander that went up to the north? Or he went to the North Pole and he like went into the... He was like looking for something?
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember his name.
Captain Jack Black.
Yeah,
Jack Sparrow.
We've got a theme. We've got a theme going.
So what are all these?
It's pretty simple.
So explain all this.
So this is what is to come. So yeah, you know, when you're gonna do something like transform how we manage keys on Nostr, how do you do it without changing everything in Nostr and making everyone do a bunch of work that they don't want to do? And so we're having to be very careful about how we approach this. And so the way to approach it to where everyone has to do the least amount of work is for us to do the work to build example signing clients and then make the implementation of that signing logic as easy as possible for existing signing clients. So a lot of libraries come together and clients to make that happen. That's why we have so many damn repos. But, you know, we've got the core architecture and then different clients that we are building across different environments. So we have a desktop client, which is Igloo. Frost2x is a browser extension, obviously. We're building Permafrost is going to be kind of a server-side client. Heimdall will be another server-side client, kind of with different trade-offs. One of them being built kind of for Umbral or for a VPS. The other one being built for more of like, you know, and just a simple API service like that you can deploy on Next.js. And the goal is just to have as many possible clients that you can put your private key shares into just to make it as easy as possible for you to keep, you know, shit posting without too much friction, but do it in a secure way. So yeah, that's kind of the consideration. What's also really cool, I forgot to mention in the last demo video, is that, you know, when this multi-sig is working together to create signatures, each of your keys are actually their own Nostr identity on Nostr, and they DM each other in kind of a single round. And because of that, that means you can have a signer that is on the client side and not just on the server side. So that means you can make a remote signer for Froster that's literally an HTML page. Super, if you're listening. right? So literally any environment can be turned into a signer because we're using Nostr relays as kind of the rendezvous point for doing these partial signatures. And so, you know, big shout out to Topher on that, because that's just like a clever way of doing things that makes it easy and lightweight.
Software reuse, bro.
What do you guys say, Topher?
Oh, yeah, we're... Domus Relay will ban you if you message too fast.
Oh, wow.
And that was kind of annoying. I was hoping that they would just rate limit you, but he just outright bans you, which I understand. Domus is like the most popular relay. Everybody wants to get on it.
Yeah, another thing that's interesting is Primal. Primal has you sign like 30 notes. Or it's not even, they're not notes. They like elicit a signature like 20 or 30 times when you load up the client, which is part of the reason we are accidentally spamming the relays. And so, you know.
It's a few notes.
I don't know why they do it, but it seems like a really good way to exfiltrate private key material. So like it's a little bit sketchy. But, you know, I'm sure they have their own reasons. It's just kind of a funny thing that, like, came up. So, actually, I mean, me and Topher haven't talked about this, but I wonder if Froster being used at scale, would we actually spam the relays too much?
Yes. Well,
because these are all DMs, right? These partial signature messages.
What are you saying, Nick? You're saying remove the dependency on what?
Oh, Nick wants me to just get rid of Nostr.
Let me choose my transport.
Can
you explain what he's saying?
That we're using Nostr relays to coordinate all the signing, but Nick hates Nostr with a passion, with a very, very deep passion. So
would that fix
a lot of that stuff? Well, it's just Nostr is just a transport layer, so you could replace that with a different one. But Nostr is just so easy to use out of the box that that's like the obvious thing that you go to first.
It's also this is like the biggest problem people have with Nostr coming to Nostr, or like one of the bigger things that keep people from using Nostr is the fact that they are dependent on this one key pair that they cannot rotate out. They cannot if it leaks, their identity is now needs to be replaced. So you guys solved that problem. So it like makes a lot of sense to build it on Nostr.
I wouldn't say we solved it. We've made it far more palatable, because
if you split up your NSEC into these shares and the shares get compromised, it's far, far easier to replace the shares. You can't really replace your NSEC. You still can do very stupid things like leak multiple shares or just carelessly give them out to where outside parties can collude and steal your key. So you still have to be mindful, but it's so much easier if you accidentally lose or a share gets compromised to just rotate it out. Like the rotation's really, really easy. I do it all the time. Austin does it all the time. It's like second nature at this point to rotate. So it solves a lot of the problems.
Yeah.
But I would say like ultimately, like there could be situations where even with Froster, like, or any other multi-sig solution, like you still
what you call it up. Froster? That's what that's
my biggest. He says Noster, but you can't say Froster.
It's Noster, okay?
Okay.
It's Noster. It's Noster, but Noots, it's Froster.
Okay. It,
yeah, it's Frost.
I call
it. Yeah, it's Froster, Froster. Tomato, tomato.
No, not tomato, tomato. On this point, though, Keon, like, definitely one of the earliest like insights for me on like a limitation of Noster was when we were all getting really into it in like 2022, I was working at Fold and Fold was like kind of into it. And I was like, yeah, maybe I can help get Fold on a Noster. Like Fold's kind of the perfect fun brand that should be on this new social media. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of cool things you could do with sat rewards and zaps and had all these ideas. But I quickly realized like, wait, How is our marketing team of like three people going to all handle a private key, a single private key and passed around? It's unrealistic. And in fact, you're putting the brand at greater risk going on Noster than just not going on at all. And so I basically had to tell them like, yeah, this isn't a good idea.
Hmm.
Right. And that's not a huge company, but it's big enough to where they have more than one marketing person. And really, do you trust your marketing person with the private key anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So this helps solve for that problem as well.
How would you compare it to something like Insect Bunker and these remote signers? Because those solve a similar problem, at least that problem that you're describing. I guess you could give someone two shares, but then they could replace it. So that's not. I wonder what the upside would be of this over another remote signing setup that doesn't have shares.
Well, the benefits that you get from remote signer, you also get with Froster because we support. Signing. So it's like you can have the remote signer benefit, but at the same time, that remote signer is not holding on to the single private key. So,
okay.
Yeah, you know, you could have like, you know, a 2 of 6 or something like that, and each marketing person has one share, and they must coordinate with that remote signer. So each of them has an access point, but not a single entity has full control. And then when one of those marketing people leaves the company, you can rotate the key set, rotate them out of it.
So it's N of K, obviously N is smaller than K, but that you can do N of K with this. And then can you set up different thresholds for rotation and signing? Can I have like 2 of 7 for signing? And then like 4 of 7 for rotation. Is that possible?
So from a pure cryptography standpoint, the threshold is the same no matter what for all the operations. But the thing is that all of these signing devices, like you have to solicit them to cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can sort of add additional restrictions if you want. So you can say, hey, you know, I have this threshold, and it's 3 of 5. And so I technically only need 3 partial signatures, but I'm going to make you show me 4. Like I want to see 4 partial signatures before I do something. So like you can, and it doesn't have to be a signature related to what you're signing, but it could be like a signature that's part of some other protocol. Cause like Austin said, like all of these signers, like all your shares are in fact their own key pair.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get them to sort of follow some other protocol to where it's like, hey, you know, I only need 3 shares to sign, but I'm going to add some extra layer on top of that where it's like you have to jump through additional hoops to get a signer to sign.
Okay.
So you could do like 2-factor authentication. You could do a lot of other things to make it more have a more complex setup.
Okay.
If you want it to.
But you know, you don't want to overcomplicate it at the same time. Like people keep suggesting like, "Oh, this is cool, but if you add this and this and this complexity, then we'll really be cooking." And it's like, "Well, no one even understands it as it is, right? We're probably at maximum complexity." And so it's like you can do all of these things, like have another rule set on top of the cryptography that has special conditions and all of that. But we sort of have to build up and just for the average pleb see that, you know, they can have a sufficient solution to this problem that's workable.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the best things about Nostr is that it's almost the simplicity. You don't want to go if you get too comp. And that's one of the things why we all like it so much. Is because it is it's simple. It's easy to you can understand in a day,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't force on itself a bunch of requirements, and it expects layers to emerge.
Yeah.
So same thing here.
Yeah, and you need to be able to give a simple explanation. Like it was really cool, Vitor. Like when I announced this, Vitor, who works on Amethyst, he was like, "How do I add this to Amethyst?" Right. And that might be a question that would scare another, someone in a similar situation, but it's like, we're ready. It's like, here's the library. Here's an example implementation for this. And here's an example implementation for this. And it's just like the work is already done. You have to understand it. It's pretty easy to understand. And then it's just a question of, getting more people into that understanding and then to poke around the idea, make sure it's secure, make sure it's
last question. Workable. Do you guys have an idea of how many people are using it already? How many downloads maybe?
I don't keep track of any of that.
Okay. I mean, I thought about adding analytics to the Frostr website, but I was like, something about that seems like backwards.
Download. I think downloads would probably be a pretty...
GitHub give you
not
that?
A very leaky privacy thing.
We have like I'm seeing stars and stuff like
GitHub
that.
GitHub has analytics, so okay. You guys are collecting analytics from GitHub at least. If the download links go to GitHub, you probably have analytics there.
Code frequency depends. Yeah, if we can say download for releases
for your own repos, you can see like locations and stuff. They're pretty revealing. It's actually pretty bad for developers, but I was just curious.
Yeah, that's probably a good, good basic thing to collect.
Yeah. Very cool. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Here,
it has stars. Oh, yeah. You guys only got 12 stars? Okay, 68 on the extension.
Wait, 68 on the extension? Oh, no, probably most of that's from NOS2X, right? Because it's a fork.
Really? You guys haven't got more love on this yet? That's crazy.
Oh, those are 68 forks. Yeah.
Oh, 68 forks.
But that's has to be a fork of NOS2X, not Frost.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
All right.
I know, like my Nostr MCP like blew up, got more stars than anything, and like no one's paying attention to Frostr. And it's like this is stupid. Y'all shouldn't be paying attention to this stupid thing over here. Anyway.
I think a lot of people are probably they loaded up their private key was generated in their favorite client. And they're just, using that key there, and they're kind of happy with it, probably, for the most part. But I think people who really know what they're getting into with Nostr are probably interested in this. And so I know you guys got a lot of love on Twitter and Nostr as well. So maybe not. Maybe all the developers haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Spring break right now.
Still relatively new, so.
Very awesome. Good job, y'all.
Thanks, y'all.
You guys did a great job. Super, super excited for y'all. When can normies use it like me? Today?
Use it today. Get it today while you still can. Get 2 signers.
Is there I have to build it, though? I don't want to build it.
The price is zero. It's free.
I can download
it. Yeah, releases on the...
Like a DMG? Right? Or?
Yep, I got a DMG. Scroll down a little bit. On the right, you see releases. Scroll up. Dude, this is GitHub. It's so hard to find releases. On the right, you click on releases, scroll down,
Oh, all these right
scroll
here.
Down. I got a verification, verify my signature. Look at all those assets.
Yes. Oh, wow. Jeez. So you have an
igloo. Every platform except for NixOS coming soon. All right,
well. Here we go. We're going to download it.
I don't know. I had to, like, Google, like, how do you even build? What does it even mean to build for NixOS? But, you know, we'll cool. figure it out.
Well, I'll check it out. Awesome. Cheers. Cool. We're going to jump into the number one top story of the week. This is for all the sats. It's called cauto.de, Rowdy Node History with a Bit of Data. This is from cauto, 31 comments, 6,000 sats. Keon, why is this the top story of the week?
Because most routing node routing operators do not share their data. And so it's really interesting to actually get some. And cauto, I think they might have intentionally doxed themselves as zero-fee routing.
Oh, really? This is the zero-fee routing guy?
Yeah.
For years, that guy.
For years, yeah. I didn't know that. I thought he was pretty good about hiding his identity. Wow. At least I didn't know it was cauto.
How did they find that out? They dust him?
No, he mentioned it.
Yeah, he mentioned it in the post, as I said. He, intentionally.
Someone made a great joke because he said he just called it zero fee routing, but it wasn't actually zero fee. So someone said
it was zero base fee, I think.
Yeah, but then someone mentioned in the comments like zero free. Well, you can look it up in the comments.
Do you know him, EK? He's from Germany too.
Germany has more than two people.
Just online.
No, it looks like it's
40. Ah, oh, currently, yeah, the capacity. I don't think that's all theirs.
Channel but I was account. Always curious because otto.de is like an online shop. So I'm wondering if there is some relationship. Because really? It's called cauto.
I believe they work at a university in some capacity, probably as a professor of some kind.
Oh. What is shop is this, EK? It's a German shop?
Yeah, just basically Amazon for Germans.
Oh, wow. So the Amazon of Germany was running a Lightning node.
No. Breaking story. Breaking. New, just in.
Just breaking right now.
Yeah, but he shares a bunch of historical stats and then like kind of hides the amounts because they're probably pretty, you know, pretty shocking. He says he hides some of the interesting data for reasons, but you could still view the graphs pretty well and basically how much he's paying for kind of rebalancing his channels, how much he's making. You can kind of determine roughly what his profits are on a relative basis, not absolute amounts.
It looks like it was popping in 22 and 23.
Yeah, the number of transactions. He was probably one of few. That's where I started. I started following cauto on Twitter back in like 2018.
What did he say why it went down for? Why transactions have gone down?
Oh, I think it's become more competitive is what I would guess. And I think he also said his interest was somewhat cyclical. Initially not very interested, then did the zero fee thing, then of 24. Oh yeah, there were a few in there. Right there. Yeah, the number of transactions is huge. Maybe someone was just passing a lot of transactions through him, or
maybe he was moving.
But yeah, he hides all the absolute amounts, so we can't really see how much money he's moving, but pretty cool. It looks like it's gone up in the last year.
That's kind of cool that he went to Stacker News to post it.
He really likes the Lightning territory. When it went away, he was like, this is the That's only territory cool. I like. Where I get it, bring it back.
Did he share it on Twitter too, or like Noster or anything?
Probably. Okay. I think he's on Noster.
Okay. I just always find that really interesting whenever there's like some cool Lightning.
A lot of cross-posting happens. I imagine he would cross-post it because I know he's on Noster.
I wonder if it's because it's easier to write for them in like Markdown, probably.
That's part of it for some of the devs. You know, certain clients, certain formats, they're better.
Cool. Nikolai said, it is a long run how you stay motivated. Any site to share. I see, for example, less than 80 channels. You hit the sweet spot in this regard. It's a big channel with the usual players. The only profitable way to run a rowdy node right now is this. Big channels is to big players and don't sell to normal node runners. And Seattle said, motivation is a tricky beast.
There have been times where I read every single log line as it flew by, trying to understand the details, optimizing stuff. There have been times more recently where I simply don't look at any information of the node aside from it is still running. Nowadays, I just do what feels right without any plan. Topher, what do you think about all this?
It's exciting. Yeah, I feel like with all the lightning FUD that you see on Twitter, that there's all this stuff happening behind the scenes with big players, and they're actually using lightning for what it's intended, which is to move money around off-chain really fast at near zero fees. And it's working. It's working for them. They continue to use it. They're constantly onboarding new capacity and new channels. So, yeah, I love to see it because I feel like this is kind of like if you were to war game out, like how would lightning adoption really look in the real world? I feel like this is what it would look like. You know, you would get a lot of FUD from people saying like, oh, my grandma's not using lightning yet. Lightning has failed. It's not in everybody's hands. I don't see it on the street. But really behind the scenes, like these institutional players, they see it as like superior infrastructure and they're slowly gravitating towards it. Just from economic first principles, like it's just a better way to transport money around. So they're adopting it slowly but surely. So yeah, it's just really cool to see. And it's cool to see like the numbers and the graphs.
Yeah. Yeah.
More of that, please.
Yeah.
Keon, you're pretty transparent with your data. Mm-hmm. If it was easy, would you like share some similar kind of insights from the Stacker News node?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it'd be probably pretty embarrassing. We move a lot of money and probably don't earn any routing fees relative to how much money we move. Mm. But I would, I would do that. But it is like, I'm afraid of doxing my channel partners who have like private channels anything like that. Basically, I don't want to reveal anything I would reveal my information, but other people's information, I get scared. So, yeah, but I'd do something like this if I could easily. If someone made like a client I could hook up to my node or a script I could run that generates a static web page or something, mm-hmm. and it is like privacy preserving for my peers.
Yeah, you could probably do something like that, like put in your host in a read-only macaroon and generate a report client-side or something like that.
Yeah. We're ranked pretty good. I think our node is like top 120 last I checked.
I mean, that's really good. Like Voltage, our main routing node, is only like top 50, 60, 70.
Wow.
And so something like that. There's lots of little subtle things that can drop it down, but it's like people don't realize like the top 100 are heavy hitters, right? Like to get into the top 100, like my node, which is a solid pleb node, is probably like barely top 1000, something like that. So even though the network is so small, I feel like there's really, really powerful players mixed in with like plebs, which is why it's so cool.
We don't do a whole bunch of node maintenance. Like I'm not rebalancing channels because our payments are so small. It doesn't really matter. And I think one of the reasons why we're not in the top 100 is we have like very little amount of money relative to the people on top. The top 100 have like, you know, tens of Bitcoin, mm-hmm. hundreds of Bitcoin of capacity between them and their peers.
Yeah. And they usually do minimum channel sizes and stuff like that to keep,
yeah.
keeps your rank higher if you only have big fat channels.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It's fun though. I mean, I think as like a pleb node, it's surprisingly easy to go from being like nobody, you get no forwards.
Yeah.
And then you just set up a little capacity with some good peers. And then like I'm checking my Lightning node, like it's a social media and I'm looking at my forwards, like their notifications. It's kind of fun.
You going to get one of those rankouts cards?
No, I was just looking around. So why do you think he called it auto for?
I have literally no idea.
I was looking for the story behind the story.
Can you say auto?
Auto. But also, what is funny.
Is that like a common name or something?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Like, it's in some people use it as an insult. Like, you're such an otto.
Oh.
Is that like, wait,
why is it insulting?
Like, is that like you're a bozo?
No, or do you also say Kevin here as an insult?
No, that's not, it's like a decent man's name.
Or, I mean, I guess there are some American names like Chantal.
What's that?
No.
Okay, we have a lot of Chantel. Names that we like.
We have Karen.
Yeah, Karen.
Oh, yeah.
That's the same thing, so like Karen.
You're being such a Kevin right now.
Yeah, that's.
But what does that mean?
Like just slow. Being it's slow. Just an German insider.
So Otto, huh? Cool.
Dude, you got some toilets.
Well, now we know. That's all the top stories of the week. Yeah, it was good. Five stories all over the place.
Whole five.
Let's jump into Meta. So this was Meta I wanted to bring up. So apparently in design territory, we found out that they're doing a whole sales pitch deck for you. Keon, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I saw it. I looked at it, and then they asked me to do work, and I was like, oh, man.
Zero noise.
They're like, pure, give me, pure, I want this data. Signal. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, they even put all the data in there. It's crazy.
This isn't our data. This is fake data.
Oh, is it?
This is why they're like, I want real data to put in here. And I'm like,
oh, this isn't real data. Oh.
No.
Okay.
Then wait, you don't have 354K in the Bitcoin territory?
No. And then he said the ad, the one thing I was going to respond to is he said the ad was a failure. It was actually a success. The advertiser made money.
So all this
ad.
Is wrong stuff.
I think it's just, it's like placeholders. That's why. Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
But it's, you know, it's cool. It's cool placeholders, and it would be a cool deck to.
Yeah.
I don't know who exactly the pitch would be geared towards, but maybe it's like, you know, you send it to people's emails. One of the things that's weird is founders will have like a software release or something, and they'll just send me a DM with a link to the release, and not, they won't say hi or anything. They'll send me, they just want me to be like aware of it. Which is weird. So maybe I could do that with that deck. I could just blast people with it, like leave it on their lap, be like, think of me, bitch.
So what Sadogram's for? You just Sadogram it to everyone.
This is your tops, or what are your stories this week?
Yeah, I thought this was great. It's just like with AI, the speed at which it's like getting better, growing and showing, as I say. What should you be learning? Is STEM like really, is it as important? Should people be leaning more on art? Are we going to see a resurgence in that? Is that going to be what's more valued in the market? And you know, just like, you know, Asian parent stuff. Simple Stacker's an Asian parent. There's some talk about that. He calls himself a banana. I guess that's...
So the story is, will creativity become more valued by the market than technical skills?
Yeah.
What do y'all think? Go around the room.
Me?
I think if we're going around, is there a direction to the round? Or is it...
Popcorn. Is that what they call it?
Spin the bottle?
I think so... I'm going to compare this to recently. You told me about this, Keon. Amjad said,
"Oh yeah,
I no longer suggest you learn how to code.
Yeah,
because of AI." He then goes on to explain his thoughts, and his thoughts are like, "Well, if you know how to think and you know how software works and you know how to like put this stuff together and what customers want, then that's what you really need, not to learn how to code." And me, I take it back around, and I'm like, the best way to learn those things is to learn how to code. And so my answer to this is like, the best way to leverage AI is to be creative. And the best way to be creative is actually pursue a creative art. And then you'll be able to take advantage of the leverage that AI gives you better than anyone else who has no taste.
Hmm. Hmm. Okay. All right, who's next in the round? EK now?
I just want to say I recently blew my own mind because I realized creative might come from creation. Like in German, we also say kreativ, but we don't say, like, the noun is different.
Oh.
Like in English, there's like a connection.
Yeah, this is
maybe
like
everyone already knew, but like I didn't realize until a few days ago.
Just like me when I was a child, I I blew my own mind when I realized a U-turn was called a U-turn because the turn was shaped like a U. It's like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, like stuff like this.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, someone was thinking.
But also, like the title says, will creativity become more valuable? But I think it's all like if you have technical skills and you're creative, I think that's already
valuable. I think you can't be a Luddite. You need to know how to use a computer to use AI. But are the technical skills less relevant over time? Because right now to put together a program using AI, you still need to be somewhat literate in programming. But if things get better and, you know, we can assume they will, how little technical knowledge do you actually need?
Like the ratio of technical to creativity goes down.
Yeah, exactly. And so should you be indexing more on creativity than technical skill? Mm. Is kind of the question.
It's a good question.
Really? You think it's like, you think some people are just like not creative, even if they didn't have a technical outlet? 100%. I don't know about that. Well, I guess not. Yeah. But I would be shocked that there are people who don't have any creativity. But what do I think on it? I think I would learn. I think mostly what you want to tell kids is to learn what they're interested in. And so I don't think you really want to do too much of this overlay of your beliefs about the future on the child. Let them kind of orient themselves. I think that meta skill is like good in either context where AI is ruling the world or we've had to go to war with AI and exterminate it. You kind of want the ability, you want your children to have the ability to guide themselves and pick their own battles and stuff and what they should be doing. But I think learning how to use these things, interacting with them, developing or like sort of a knowledge of interaction between them is a really good idea. We have some conversations like that in the comments, which are good, but I think everyone should be creative regardless, and I think everyone should be a little bit technical regardless, at least enough to know whether you should go deeper. And
well, if I ask an artist to like draw a portrait of me, but I want that artist to make it look like Studio Ghibli, like what part of that is the artist being creative and what part of that is the artist being technical? Like it seems like it's not easy to separate the two. Mm. In that you kind of like the magic happens when you have both. Mm. And so it's like if I'm programming, like I can't draw worth a damn.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to writing code, I can be incredibly creative.
Mm-hmm.
I also have seen AIs struggle to center a div. So it's like, well, you know, regardless, like if you know, I pursue, like I exercise my creativity and my technical ability because I like to, and mm-hmm. it's not really based upon like what other people value my skills at. Like I do that because ultimately I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, you're not doing it like for the utility of other people.
Yeah. So I guess it's like, it's an important question to talk about. It just seems like such a complex question in that everybody is going to have like different opinions on even what is considered being creative versus being technical. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think we're there yet. In understanding like what AI really brings to the table. A lot of people are trying to project into the future what things will look like 10 years from now, but I don't think we even really can do that accurately right now. Like it's hard to say what AIs will be capable of doing. Like is AI going to become is it going to become proficient enough that it's going to be able to do whatever you tell it to do, and it's not just going to get hung up on the dumbest things, which is where we're at now. Like AI can do very sophisticated tasks, but it can also fail on the simplest of things.
Mm.
So it's not very reliable. And so you do need to step in
Like you have to babysit it and you have to like step in and help it when it gets stuck on something silly. Mm-hmm. And you still have to have an understanding of what you and the AI are doing if you want to actually be very proficient with it. But I don't know, maybe some industries it's like it doesn't matter anymore. Like, I don't know, writing. Like how much has writing changed with AI where it's just like you have some ideas, you hash them out, and like all of the busy work of having to go through drafts and stuff, you don't have to do that.
I think anymore. A lot of the, for good writers, it's probably cutting down on the pre-production part, like the research phase and the like hashing out the ideas and stuff like that. People who are actually writing original work. And then for people who are like doing like marketing blogs, from what I can tell, it's like 80% of them are all just completely AI generated and they have a 3-sentence prompt and they expect people to read the, you know, 5,000 words that it generates as if it's like worth reading and it isn't. So that's changed. It's made lazy people more obvious and they're well to like people who are paying attention and less obvious to people who aren't. At least as far as writing, but I think it's helping a lot of people. I have a friend who talks to these things for like an hour or two a day and just Carr has shared with me that he also has done this occasionally and he says it's like it's mind blowing. There's like things he can talk to the AI about it, literally anything. Mm-hmm. To at a like he can't find a local expert that can talk to that he can get access to.
You're trying to put into work. Kind of what you do on the show when I'm like trying to explain something.
And then you finish the sentence for me. That's basically what I get it to do. It's like,
oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I'm pretty good.
Where I would just be like, oh, I have this idea, but I can't explain it, but it feels like this, it smells like this, it tastes like this, and then it spits it out. It's usually right on.
Cool, man.
Can I ask, what is the opposite of creativity? Because I'm trying to think of a better... Well, I guess creation, destruction, or creativity.
What's zero creativity look like? I think it's mostly. I think I know you've listened to a lot of Jordan Peterson, but he describes it kind of as the personality trait is like openness.
It's absence. It's darkness.
Openness versus closeness.
Yeah.
Like where I'm emotionally wanting to go with the answer is that like creativity is where you exit the realm. It's like. You have the main highway that everyone's on, the highway of common knowledge and common ideas and common ways of showing and presenting things. And whenever you leave that road, you are in the realm of creativity because you are leaving sort of the mainstream flow of information and the mainstream flow of sense making. And you're doing your own sense making from your own perspective. And this is where like I think creativity goes with agency.
What do you mean by agency? Explain that.
Intentionality. Okay. An intentionality that comes from, thought. Whereas, like, if I'm uncreative, it's like I can make amazing technology and amazing art, all being uncreative, right? Because I can just take from the most popular in culture. Instagram on the technology side, banana on the wall on the art side or whatever.
I feel like that's more like the Mr. Beastification of, to me, that feels more like that when you say that. It kind of reminds me of that kind of thing.
Yeah, because he's looking at lots and lots of data and then he's changing his style based upon data and not because he personally feels like,
Well, I think where the data isn't showing him a way, though, he's probably expressing some taste. He's like choosing a direction to go in, and that would be because you have to imagine he started out. I don't want to defend Mr. Beast, but you imagine he started out with no data. So he eventually got he was creative enough to find ways to get data that no one else had that allowed him to extract trends from the data that allowed him to. Try more experiments to get more data,
Yeah, because it's like another domain of creativity is how can you leverage your creativity?
This is where I think it's just more human psychology is going to be far more important in this day and age. And creativity, it's hard to imagine
creativity like going away. But I do wonder, though, like, because I think of my nephews and nieces, like, they're just getting their creativity from, like, an iPad most of the time. And so I don't know. I don't know about that. I feel like at some point they're just going to talk to the AI, and the AI is going to help them be creative, and it'll just be used as another tool to be creative, I guess, kind of like what it's doing right now.
I think it'll make people more creative.
So I don't know. I don't know if creativity will go away. I don't think it will. But I think uniqueness will, and I think uniqueness will probably go away. You won't have like a Mozart or like a Leonardo da Vinci coming around. And if they do, they're going to be like once every 100 years or so.
You're going to have to like set yourself on fire to be creative in the future unique, like. You're going to have to do the most ridiculous.
This kind of goes back to my whole theory of, like, I feel like everything's going into silos and curation right now. And this just kind of adds to this just validates that even more. Because what I think is super creative might not be super creative to y'all, and vice versa. I think everything just becomes silos and curation. And that's where I think it's really, I don't know where all this is headed, but I definitely feel like that's well on its way to happen. But what were you going to say, Tim?
Oh, yeah. So, like, if... Let's say you have this magical box that you can ask any question and it gives you like the best, most informed answer, right? So anytime you have a problem, you can come to this box and ask it a question and it gives you the answer. Like, can you ever really, how do you exercise your creativity if you never have to struggle to find the answer to something?
I don't. I think people had a lot of these similar complaints around like the calculator, Google, like a lot. I think it's just another tool, and I believe there will always be space that I think that our tools don't occupy, that we express ourselves in.
I also think this is where you need to be around other people that are like minded in community. This is why I think there's a lot more hubs and communities kind of sprouting up right now in the world. Just because of what you just said, like, if you're not inspired, if you're not creative, then if you're not inspired or like what you're saying, and you're just talking to like a black box that's giving you every answer and allowing you to do all these things, where do you go to get that? The only way you can get that is through other people. And maybe that's what creativity will maybe lead to, just lead to other humans creatively inspiring other humans as opposed to. And then maybe the AI is somewhat inspiring us individually. I don't know. It's hard to think about.
Yeah, we'll see where this all takes us.
One last thought, harkening back to earlier, like punks, the kind of punk response to like creativity is a reversion from what seems like improvements. Right. So like, oh, music is sounding clearer. The drums come through cleaner in the recording. The guitar is cleaner. It's more, it's better mixed. It's better balanced. But like people that are really into punk nowadays, they would deny that. They would be like, oh, this is so clean. It's gross. Right. But then you would hear something that's dirty and real and analog, and you would feel connected to that. And on paper, if you just show it to an average person, they're going to be like, this sounds worse than this. But because you have a certain taste that is outside of the norm, you view that as being higher valued. So I think that's like an interesting area where like people will keep their uniqueness, is they'll deny the seeming improvements for the sake of art and humanity, saying like, oh yeah, I could look and sound better, but that wouldn't be cool, right? I want it to look like this 90s grunge, you know, whatever. Or even like UIs, right? I can have Shad CN, or I can have this super gritty like 90s looking website that maybe will just stand out in the right way, and you know, be more creative, even though it's a reversion. So yeah,
there was there's an interview with what's his name? He's a composer, Hans Zimmer, and they asked him a question about music and stuff and what he thought about, you know, the old stuff and the new stuff that comes out. He was like, if it's a good song, it's a good song. And I think he's right. If it's just a good song, it's a good song. Cool. I think we talked about this one to death. Way to go, Coop. We're going to go into the next one. Will location be more or less important?
Yeah, it's sort of related because you brought up being close to other humans, but KR here is asking about how land pricing might change because most technologies are enabling us to kind of be everywhere at once or get together remotely or have internet where internet wasn't possible before or relocate your body more effortlessly as a result of self-driving cars and, you know, in the future, I'm sure faster airplanes. We were following some of the supersonic airplane stuff. So will big cities shrink? Will people live more rurally? What is the trend that we expect around where people are living? So that's the question he asked. And I ended up, I think, repeating something I probably read on Stacker News already, which is where I think there will be more like tier three, like sub-cities, more sub-cities around these like major city hubs rather than people going super dense, more like suburb-y. Because I don't think a lot of people want to live in super high density, but they'll want to be near it for.
So maybe going away from like neighborhoods to, because you can be in a city and then be like from a neighborhood. And then now you're saying maybe it goes to the city to like, I don't know, Bastrop or Lock
Hall. Yeah, yeah, a lot. I think we'll see just more of the more sprawl, more like more of an LA type city in more places where it's just like the weather's nice here, but I don't want to be super near all you people. So I'm going to get as far away as possible with still keeping the weather and being near a highway. And so maybe we'll just, I think that might be the trend.
You ready for the LA-fication of the world?
It's already happening. I just got back from Phoenix, and my family was complaining about snowbirds because you have all these people from the East Coast that don't want to deal with the winter, so they buy a nice little spot in the desert, and they move there and just hang out for a bit. They bring their trailer with all their stuff, and they just like flood the city. And it's called snowbird season, but it's quite amazing, like just how many people migrate just to Phoenix, just like during
Phoenix
the season.
Phoenix is also so hot, like I guess if you really don't like the snow and you don't mind the heat that much, you go to Phoenix, right? Because like, wouldn't it be better to go, I don't know, somewhere with mild summers, like most of, or you're talking about like pure winter.
Well, the land is cheap.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can be hot, and that has its own challenges. But, like, if it snows several inches constantly, and you constantly get snowed in, and you have to wait for the snow plow.
Arizona isn't that hot during winters. I had it backwards. I thought they were going during summers to Arizona. Okay, so they're going during winters where Arizona's probably mild.
Yeah.
Maybe it gets freezing occasionally.
Perfect right now. It's LA weather.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense then. I get that.
Yeah. No, I think it's cool. You know, like I think people should live where they want to live, not where they have to live. So maybe people will mellow out if they all migrate to where they want to be and things will just sort of sort themselves out. Then at the same time, I don't know, maybe that's a bad thing. Maybe people like to construct their own echo chambers online. You know, will that just happen in the real world? So I don't know, it's interesting to see like all people moving around. I definitely move around a lot more than I used to now that I work remote, and I do like the flexibility. So it's changed my life. So I guess as things become more remote, it's like sort of changing society as a whole.
Yeah, more nomadic. Justin Shocknet in there said that he would go if Starlink existed. When I think he was setting up wherever he set up, he would have gone even more rural than he already is.
Yeah.
And gone more off-grid, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, he's an off-grid guy.
Would you guys go ever super off-grid? Like live off-grid? It's like you and your pleb family.
Homesteading is what
it's called. Cabin in the woods is the ultimate dream.
That's the goal?
Thoreau, Walden.
I see. What woods?
That's the idea. Concord.
Concord, California?
Massachusetts.
Oh, is that the OG woods?
That's the OG.
Cool.
There you go.
Oh, that's you. That's your where. That's where you're born, Car.
No, that's Split Poet Stream right there.
You're born in a barn.
Just want to shout out to the song Californication from Red Hot Chili Peppers. I really like the song, and I felt some connection while to this post and the song. Maybe you see the connection. I'm not sure.
I don't really see it. I don't know what Californication. I forget the lyrics of the song. Car, you probably know the lyrics.
Yeah, I feel like I would like to go to this just to like, you know, spend like a week in silence or something. It'd be good.
Yeah, meditate.
Yeah.
Maybe Jack Dorsey could do, be like your
let's guru. Let's jump into the next one is Dust Attack Explained from Bitcoin Devs. This is what EK wanted to talk about because I asked him a question earlier. How do I avoid attackers sending me a tiny amount of Bitcoin? And can I send it back?
No, because it's from Bitcoin Devs.
Mm-hmm.
EK, do you want to talk about the Dust Attack post?
I mean, Carr wanted me to explain it to him, but fortunately Austin was also there. And Austin can explain it better.
So I compared the idea of you have a vehicle that is known, but that vehicle is going to take you to, you know, a private location that
homestead,
is not known.
My homestead.
The homestead, exactly. So it's like you may know when I'm in the city that this is my car, but you don't know where my car goes when I go home, you know, back to the Citadel. Mm-hmm. But dusting would be like, well, since I know your car, I'm going to bug your car.
Whoa.
And then since your car is bugged, when you drive home and you park it in the garage, I'm going to then know where your garage is. And then if I know where your garage is, I can bug your other car and then track you, you know. So I don't know. That's my very loose
suckerish
analogy. And we were kind of talking about how wallets handle it and if wallets can avoid this.
Yeah, can wallets avoid this? Can I send back the dust?
So maybe Topher would have a better answer for this, but like if I want to dust your wallet, I either need to know your XPub and then I can generate a brand new valid address for your wallet. Now that would be the trickiest way to do it. But for most of the time, if someone's trying to dust attack you, they're going to reuse an address that you've already used, probably the most recent one. And so this could be maybe a criteria where wallets could like flag dust as risky, because it's like if I receive dust to a previously used address, flag it as like toxic or risky, because that might be someone trying to get me. But otherwise, you know, if I have dust in my wallet, I want it to be used, right? I want it to be added as an input to one of my transactions, but only if it's my own dust. And so it's definitely tricky. I don't think there's like a full solution that you can have for this unless you just have like perfect accounting of all the inputs and outputs in your wallet and you would just like ignore or not spend anything that doesn't come from you explicitly.
So there's a post here. It says nearly 30% of all the UTXOs have a value of 546 sats. Is that true?
Yeah. I think half the
Wow.
Me and Nick have talked about, I'm sure many people have talked about this over time, but like, how could you incentivize people to give you dust? How can we use dust productively? Could a central entity do it? Could a group of cooperating individuals do it? Could I buy your dust for you at a premium and then somehow make more from it on the backside if I hold on to it or something like that? Like, because the dust is only useless by itself, but if we combine our dust together, which you have to use capital to do that, right? Then it's like you've got this whole 30% of the Bitcoin that's unspendable, but it doesn't have to be. We just need to spend a little bit extra money than it is to make it spendable. So it's kind of a weird paradox.
I wonder if some of Gloria's mempool work might help with this. I don't know if any of it is even addressing this, but
package relay.
Yeah, maybe you could somehow, because you can have like zero sat. Is this right, Trevor? You can have
zero sat out
You can have a zero SAT output and use it
for fee bumping. It's not.
Yeah, but could you do that with your dust?
Could you? Yeah, could I define a packet of like just an assortment of dust in my wallet?
Well, the problem with dust is an economic one. Is in the
economic
the
dust.
Amount that it costs to include the information about that UTXO yeah. in a transaction costs more than the value of the output. So it doesn't make any economic sense.
But there's also the mempool policies too around dust.
Yeah, I mean, there's mempool policies around dust because you might find a UTXO valuable regardless of how many sats are in it. I mean, that's how ordinals sort of works with inscriptions and runes. It's like you're using these UTXOs for other accounting purposes. You don't even care what the Satoshi value is. But outside of that, I mean, the big problem with dust is that it's not economical to spend. So
you pay miners more than you get doing the transaction.
That's crazy. I didn't know that stat right there. That's crazy.
Yeah. So you guys need to fix it. I don't know. UTXO is one way to fix it. Me personally, I would just say like there, dust that's past a certain age, like miners should just be able to claim it. Mm.
EK makes a point. Miners could, if they win a block, could move it for free.
Yeah, but even then, the thing is that how would you do that? How would you prove that dust has been taken? Like, you have to put data in the transaction, and that data is then also kicking out another transaction that would be paying you more fees.
So yeah, like, so it'd be a non-economical thing to do.
Well, you're not creating more dust, but it's just, it doesn't make economic sense to include dust unless the mempool is empty and you literally have nothing else to put in a block.
Well, like, look what Marathon did with their decorated block. That didn't make economic sense.
No.
Maybe they should have decorated the block and consolidated some dust. Like, hey, if you're going to waste your money, you know, you might as well. But it's just like, yeah, I get it. There's basically no scenario where in the moment it makes economic sense. It's always an economic loss in the moment. But is there any gain that can be made, like, in the future, any advantage that can be made in the future? And, yeah, inscriptions, ordinals is interesting with this because you can have, like, a fake premium on top of what is otherwise a not valuable UTXO. So maybe that's the answer. We can get all the shitcoiners on Bitcoin to consolidate our dust for us because they put, like, in... you know, NFTs in it and meta protocols and bullshit. Is that, maybe that's the strat?
Does CTV solve this?
No comment on that one.
Maybe CTV solves this.
CTV. UTXO or miners just, like literally dust UTXOs just disappear and they go back into the Coinbase somehow.
Oh, wow. Cool. Do you think Satoshi would be for?
He's a pretty pragmatic guy. I think he'd be for it.
Doing that.
Yeah, having the dust not sit forever in the UTXO set. I don't know how I feel about that. I didn't think about it.
Anyways, great post. We're going to jump into the other story. Oh, here, let me.
So the next story was this one. This was freaking cool. So a father-son duo created an entire Lamborghini. With 3D printing.
So we bought one off of Amazon.
They bought an engine. Or no, they bought a 3D printer. And then they bought the engine off of eBay. And they 3D printed the entire Lamborghini. Isn't that cool? Yeah, let me zoom in a little bit. There it goes. Look at that whole. Isn't that awesome? Look how it's all like.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
put together.
Looks pretty janky. I wish they would have finished it.
They said that even Lamborghini sent them the headlights. They were like $10,000.
Oh,
they
my just, God.
They sent it to for free.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How much is a Lambo?
So he built it for his took. Here go, let me see if I can find the price. The price wasn't that expensive for him. He spent $5,000.
Dang.
The headlights were $10,000, but they got those for free. The windshield was $4,000, I think. Then he spent $5,000. So like roughly under 10 for it, it looks like. But look at that. Would you drive in that Kia?
Sure. I drive in Waymos.
Look at this.
My preferred transportation.
Isn't that cool? I don't know.
Did they make the frame?
Oh, yeah, he made everything. He made everything. The frame, everything. So that was like... The only thing, they just don't show him driving it. He never shows him driving it in the video. But...
Doesn't look drivable to me.
You think? Oh, because the wind will fly everything off?
Yeah, I don't know how. I wonder if it's just they made it sort of as a model.
Yeah, I think it was cool. And then the last thing I want to bring up, because this is big news, they're bringing another final destination.
So our final destination for this week.
Well, we got barbecue. Okay.
Dude, look at this.
Dude, this is us at the old Pleb Lab. It's so terrified when we were barbecue.
Look at this. Oh, no. He's always giving me ick, dude. I'm just like, oh.
It's great.
Like, how would you not throw away the whole ice right there?
Just gotta love the one.
You would have just.
He couldn't see it.
No, you throw it away. As soon as you're broken, you throw away the ice.
He's already had a few drinks.
I got it.
I don't think you got it. But look, put it right there on the edge.
For years.
Charlie, get up here.
Are we doing a trailer watch?
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, we're watching it.
Car, what's your favorite final destination?
Part one.
First one.
And then I think the last one connected to the first one, if I remember correctly.
What was the one at the roller coaster? That one was fire.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Family.
It's three or four.
Look at this. Look, Kia. Oh,
here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Poor kid. She's screaming.
Grandma, what's happening to us? Years ago, I had a premonition that started it all. I saw what
I'm kind of thrown off a little bit. Is she the mom from the kid from the first one? Like, are they all, like, connecting it together? That's the thing I couldn't figure out. Because she said it started with her. Like, she's the family
that
it started with.
Night.
So I'm wondering if, like...
Lives that were never meant to be saved.
Because they've been connecting them all. Anyways, I thought this was cool.
This book, it will show you everything you need to know to keep...
He's just patient.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'll get you next time.
Yeah.
He likes the domino game, apparently.
The thrill of the chase.
Yeah. These always freaked me out, because then... After this Saw came out, and then just got super crazy. Because I remember Final Destination came out, and it was, like, super gory, but it was, like, kind of cool. And then Saw came out and just took it to another level. But, yeah. Anyways, that's all the stories this week. Stagger News Life. Let's jump into the most boring, I mean, the most popular. Oh, no, we're not there yet. We're going to jump into the top stackers.
We could just, I don't even know why we do the top stackers. We should go to the most impressive.
The most popular segment of Bitcoin. We're skipping the stackers now.
There we go.
Cowboy segment.
Cowboys.
Giddy on up.
Yeehaw. I really know a lot about the segment after to a rodeo.
Is that the only reason you went?
Yeah.
Did you wear the hat? You should have wore the hat.
No, I don't think I'm ready.
You should have just wore it, dude.
I need to, like, really go.
No, dude. You got to lean into it.
I'm not ready.
I was
undercover.
Go full on Willy Wonka. Just wear a yellow coat, a yellow.
Willy Wonka didn't have a hat like this.
No, but you just go full Willy Wonka. Just wear a yellow jacket, yellow shirt, yellow rimmed glasses, yellow hat.
Yeah, that's not Willy Wonka.
No, I mean, like, in a sense where he's, like, full on, just in costume, all the time. Like, that's his thing.
I've thought about it. I've thought about, like, starting to wear a suit just for the fuck of it. You know? Just to, like, be like,
it's just because we're in the Littlefield building. That's why.
I don't know. I just, like, a normal. Like,
because you see, like, tour walk by and you're like, oh, maybe I should wear a suit.
It's just kind of weird. People take you more seriously. They're like, this guy's going to court. He's going to church. He's got an interview. He's getting married. He's going to a baptism.
What do you think, besides a suit, what's a comfortable outfit that, like, lets people know that you're, like, serious businessman?
Like a serious polo? Artist, a leotard.
Like a polo,
leotard?
Right?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's like where you, it's like a onesie.
The, like, what Andre the Giant wears?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I think if you were, I think if you were in any other city, I think it would matter.
Coveralls,
but I don't think it matters in Austin, man.
Yeah, sometimes I pass a homeless guy and I'm like, man, that guy might be a millionaire. I don't even know. And then it turns out to be Keon.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, anyways, Cowboy segment, we got...
oh, yeah. It looks like not much has changed in Cowboys.
Blockchain Book is number 5 now. He was number 4.
Was he?
Yeah.
So who fell out?
117 been creeping up.
Someone fell out.
Oh. Gray Ruby.
Coins Reporters in the top 10. I'm telling you, man, 10.
Like... Gray Ruby, Undisciplined. It's going to turn, this Stacker News is going to turn into Stacker Sports dot news at some point.
Stacker Sports.
Have you seen
Sports dot
news? Have you seen their territory? Dude, look at this.
Is it fire?
It's really good. We've been playing the Sweet 16.
Wow.
I got, dude, I've been doing terrible though. Look at my current standings. Look at this.
You're like last.
I'm like zero, zero, zero. Suck, dude. I've been going hard bets, though. Look, Siggy's doing pretty well. Undisciplined, 117. This week I'm playing it safe. But I picked, who did I pick?
Let's you make, see. Like, risky bets usually?
The last week I did. It was the wrong move. This week I picked Ole Miss. We'll see. Let's see, yeah.
Sometimes they do.
They're playing tonight at 7. Got to watch it. Gives me a reason to watch it. Cool. That's all the stuff on Stacker News. Keon, what are you doing this week?
What am I doing this? I'm not going back to the rodeo because it's probably busy on the weekends, but I would if it were not busy.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I don't think I'm going to do anything. That's my plan. How about you, Carr? What are you doing?
I don't think I'm going to do anything either. We have a vibe coding session tomorrow that for Juan.
Oh.
He wants to do a vibe coding session. I don't know how that's going to go.
So are you going to learn how to vibe code? You vibe coded a bit.
I feel like I've coded before. But
in another life? Or
no, when I was coding last year.
Yeah, I remember.
You guys were all impressed. You were like, oh.
It's like, damn.
This guy can code.
Car is coding.
But I don't know. It just doesn't really do anything for me. You know?
You don't want to become too powerful.
No, it's not that. I feel like I need all my my brain power and like... these different buckets, like not a lot of buckets, just like singular buckets.
Why don't you have a clone do it? You were telling me you feel like Michael Keaton from Multiplicity earlier.
No, that was just more my personality. I'm saying like the I feel like the way I think, I like to think about few different things, and if I have too many things to think about, it'll be detrimental to me, if that makes any sense. Like I've never been one person.
That's kind of true for every person.
Oh, okay. I feel like Keon like learns all sorts of things.
No, not really. But okay. I would wonder if there's like something really interesting going on with computer programs, because you kind of have this like. Or I wonder if people who create media feel this way, but you kind of have this thing running, this like part of you that you've like sent off into the world. It's almost like a child, and it's like it's just running well in the background somewhere, and you're not actually interacting. It's like automated. And so that might be.
I guess I've had that with websites.
Yeah,
because I built a ton of websites. Feeling. Yeah, music is really cool feeling when you release music and then it gets out there in the world and people listen to it. That's a cool feeling too.
Yeah, but it's like sort of like an echo, because it's not going to die. It's already done. It's like immortal now. Once you've like released a piece of music.
Yeah, that's true.
But like a server that's running or a website or. Piece of code, it can go bad. It can like go. It isn't immortal. It's very mortal, extra mortal.
Yeah. Anyways,
anyone else doing anything?
What are y'all doing? What are you doing, Jenna?
I'm gonna go to work at the garden place.
How's the garden coming?
It was a rainy week this week at the garden.
Does that mean you water or you don't water on those days?
I used the rain to water, actually.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty nice.
Do you drink it?
I haven't tried drinking it yet, but I do drink sweet tea. Somebody there makes really good sweet tea.
Out of the rainwater?
Probably not. Just, I don't know.
I heard a funny joke this week, and it was about rain. I forgot where I heard it, but it was like, they were like making fun of like, what are you drinking? And they're like, you're drinking rain? Like, what is that, rain? Like, they called the drink rain because it was just water.
Oh.
Nice. I think that was funny.
That was funny. Because he was just like drinking a normal drink. And he was like, what are you drinking? Rain? Is that rain?
Oh, that is funny. If someone, I think it's mostly the way you configure
I
the
think
joke.
There's also like an energy drink that's called Rain, R-E-I-G-N.
You pull it up.
Yeah, but it's like if your friend was drinking water and like, you're right, bro, you're drinking rain.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Sour gummy worm. White haze.
No different thanks. Kind of rain.
This looks like a...
So that could have been the whole... Maybe it wasn't a joke at all. Maybe it was a genuine guess.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe you're right. What are you drinking, rain? Damn, I'm getting old. So you could have water plants, you said?
Yeah, but I think what's really cool at the garden this week, we got a whole bunch of air plants.
What are air plants, dude?
Air plants are cool.
They just sit out and they just take everything they need nutrient wise from
that
the
right
air.
There? Is that right there?
Yeah, their roots are exposed to the air.
Their roots are exposed to the air. They're really cool.
What?
They're really cool. We got a whole bunch of them.
They probably do really well in Austin.
Are they like underwater plants or something? Or
usually soak them is how you care for them.
Yeah, but you can't soak the roots.
So why do they call them air plants?
Really?
Yeah.
Because we would soak them. I thought you were supposed to like put them in water for very briefly, take them out.
Yeah. You should protect the roots when you do that.
Oh. How do you protect the roots?
Just leave them. Well, we always turn ours upside down.
Oh, that's so cool.
But yeah, they're not in water. They're just out in the air. Air plant. That's the whole idea.
That's cool. So you can do one of these.
So yeah, come by and check them out and...
Pretty you ever see make the, a little terrarium. The eating plants? You ever play with those? The ones that eat you?
Oh, we had something like that.
Venus flytrap?
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
What can you feed them like hot dogs and stuff, or is it just...
Yeah, feed them your fingers.
They'd love Cheetos.
What's
Do
happening?
They really?
No.
What can you feed them, Jenna?
You can feed them like you'll clip your toenails or your fingernails, and you'll just like toss those in there.
People come in to clip their toes and their fingers.
They'll eat them?
Dude, I'm joking.
Oh, yeah. No. So what do they eat, though? Just insects?
Yeah, insects. Yeah.
What do? It just goes back into the soil?
I'm not sure. I don't know how their digestion works.
Do they poop
works.
It out or something?
I bet an AI could tell
I
us
think
more
they
about
like,
that.
It's like a stomach. They like put they put like chemicals on it, and it breaks it down, and it makes like...
Oh, these things here.
Yeah, there's a Venus flytrap. There's this other... plant that like has like a it has like a sack
pod, yeah,
yeah, that what is
oh,
that?
It looks like it's eating his face.
I think that's an orchid. I thought it was an orchid. It might not be.
I don't know what it is.
Why do they eat meat?
But look, I'm talking about
this one. Why do they eat meat for? Does anybody know?
Because that's how I don't think they have many leaves. Mm-mm. I think that's where they get a lot of their energy from.
Oh, that's creepy, dude.
That's a character in a musical.
Okay. It's like, whoa, screw
dude,
that.
Dude, kiss that, eh?
No way.
Give it a bit.
Put your head in there.
That's Seymour, right? From.
I thought that was from.
Yeah.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors. That's what that's from.
That's from Zombie versus Plants versus Zombies. All right. Well, I think we're going to end it there.
It also looked like a fleshlight. I was looking for that word.
Oh, yeah. What are you doing this weekend, EK?
I want to find a new Airbnb.
Whoa.
But for like, I have to stay where I am for 4 weeks at least.
Okay.
But yeah. And I also want to go on a hike since weeks. But
you want to work on it? Yeah,
eventually. Cool. All right. I think we're going to end it there. Keon.
Yeah. Zap.